Hey friends, welcome to my daily teaching video. Hey, in a moment I want to share with you something with you, and I really encourage you to listen through this. I won't be long, but I want to talk about water baptism and the power of it in living a transformed life. I really, from the bottom of my heart, think that 99% of Christians have completely missed the power of baptism. Good. Let me do a few quick ads. I'm recording this on a Saturday in my church here in Sturbridge. If you're watching this video on a Saturday today, which is March 29th, we are actually doing a baptismal service here tomorrow morning. That is March 30th. Service starts at 10 a.m. If you watch this and you're in the area or in New England and you want to be baptized, if you're a believer, come and join us tomorrow. We will baptize you in water if you're a believer in Christ. Drop me a line. Find my email, admin@gjm.org, if you're interested in getting baptized tomorrow. We'd be happy to include you in. Being baptized is absolutely vital. Let me do a few other quick announcements. Again, if you are in the New England area, tomorrow I've got a baptismal service here. I'll be doing a healing service in Connecticut, in Norwalk, Connecticut, tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m., NEF Church. So go to NEF.church. Details there. I want to mention as well, I've got a brand new book. I'm so excited about this book. It's called Building a Relationship with God. And I've been thinking and praying about this for several years now. And I talk about, I think we're all good at starting a relationship with God. The church doesn't do a great job of teaching people to enjoy and flourish and build a relationship with God that actually works. So I've got this. It's available on Amazon. You can get it as a Kindle. I would actually advise you to get it as a paperback and write on it and make notes and make it yours. I also have a study guide that goes with this. If you're here at church, you can pick up both of these together for $20 tomorrow. And we, together with some other churches, we're going to be studying this over the coming 10 weeks, chapter by chapter, and helping people build and practice and flourish in their relationship with God. Good. If you're new to my YouTube channel, great to have you here. Please consider hitting the subscribe button down there. We have over 1 million subscribers right now. And lastly, let me mention, if you were in Florida, I'm going to be in the month of April. I still have 2 dates open. If you're interested in inviting me to speak in a church or group or having a healing service there, I'd love to hear from you. Boom. Let's talk about baptism, baby. I love this subject, and it's interesting. When I think about baptism, I really get stirred, because my primary connection, when I think about baptism, I actually get angry. And the reason I say that, and my anger is not directed at a particular person, it's righteous anger, I believe, but I never really realized until probably 15 years after I'd been baptized what baptism was all about. And I spend all of my Christian life, everywhere I go, I see people who don't get what baptism means. If you were to go to, I would say, the average born-again, spirit-filled Christian and say, what is baptism? Why do we get baptized in water? I think you'll hear things like, out of obedience. I'm like, sure, I agree with that. It's not wrong. People will say it's a public declaration of your faith. Yeah, interesting. I mean, yeah, it's good to publicly declare your faith. I think you'll hear people say things like, it's when you join a church. I think it's when you join the church, the Catholic, not Roman Catholic, but the universal church. Like, yeah, you get baptized into the body of Christ. I don't believe you need to get baptized, you know, again and again and again. If you're in different churches, once it sticks. But I think most people completely miss what happens in baptism. And I'm going to be preaching on this tomorrow, but let me do a quick preview of coming attractions. I think in a sense our problem is, let me go back to the beginning, what evangelicals have taught by and large is simply this. They will say, you're a sinner, you've committed all of these sins, and you can't come into fellowship with God because of your sins. Agreed? Jesus comes and he took all of your sin. He took your debt. He took all of the, imagine these are debts I can't pay, and I'm burdened by a heavy burden of debt. And Jesus comes and he takes away all of these debts and he dies on the cross and bang, 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 he takes my sin, my debt towards God with him on the cross and pays the price. Yeah, I'm not mocking. And now he comes and offers me a life of forgiveness. And he says, Graham, I have died for your sins. If you will put your faith in me, your sins have been wiped out. Okay. I agree with every single thing I've just said. But can I lovingly suggest to you that's not the gospel? That's only a part of the gospel. And the danger is it leaves Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians, in this place where they are still battling sin. That what the Bible calls the old man, the sinful nature, that dark passenger, that old you who has a propensity to sin and selfishness and wants to be its own God. The problem is that person is still living in the life of so many Christians. And what happens to most of us, I would say nearly all of us, is we come to Christ and we get taught that he forgives our sins, and he does forgive our sins, and emotionally, spiritually, we feel, hallelujah, this release. My sins are gone, my shackles are gone, my chains have been broken. And we feel that emotionally for a while, and then we encounter the reality that old, dark, yucky, sinful me is still around. And we sing songs, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man, and we are a new creation, and yet we are still an old man. And I think most Christians live in the reality of it's like they've got Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and these two things. And in church they're the hallelujah, and then, you know, this other yucky, jealous, lustful, angry, selfish, lazy, whatever you want to call it, pops out, and they're living in Romans chapter 7. The thing I don't want to do, I keep doing, and the thing I know I should do, I don't do, and who will rescue me? And they live with this duality. And frankly, the church has done a terrible job at teaching on that subject and how to deal with that subject. And I can't give you, I don't have enough time to give you all of the clever, frankly, unbiblical explanations the church will give you to deal with that. There's a lot of the church that basically says, guys, this is just it. You've got these dual natures and it's going to be that way. And yet when you die, yeah, Jesus will kill the baddie and the goodie will go to heaven. I mean, that's what a lot of people believe. Okay. There's another branch of the church, more like the kind of Puritan branch of the church, that teaches, well, righteousness comes instantly, but sanctification is a process. And yes, you're a new creation, but you've got your old man. And if you keep working at it over time, your new man will take the higher position and your old man the low. And over time, you will kill this old man. You hear people quoting scriptures like, well, Paul says, I'm crucified daily, I die daily. You know, can I tell you that's terrible teaching. What it does, it replaces the cross with the clock. It says time will sanctify us. And as most of you have learned, and I have learned as a pastor, or looking at my own life, do you know time does not improve us? Time makes us older. If you're taking notes, write that down. Time does not sanctify you. The cross of Christ sanctifies you. The blood of Jesus sanctifies you. And time can often make you more entrenched in your ways. Time doesn't always improve people's character. Older people can be as grumpy and as mean as younger people. Hello? It's true, isn't it? Come on, sometimes we charismatics come along, and I'm one, so, but we'll teach things like, yeah, what you need, you've got this old you and new you, and what you need is deliverance, and we'll cast something out of you, and like, great, or we try, and if you're more anointed, you'll get the victory one over the other. Somebody else will come along, oh no, you need inner healing. We need to go back to your past and counsel and inner heal this old you. Can I tell you, God does not want to heal the old you. Here's the glorious truth of baptism, and it's so simple that for years I missed that. Here's what the gospel really says. The gospel says, I was this old person, if you will, separated from God, walking around carrying my sins. Jesus didn't just say, oh, Graham, I'll take your sins and burn them on the cross. Jesus said, Graham, I'll take your old man, and I will take that old sinful nature, and I will kill it on the cross. And again, you've got to look at this through an eye of faith. God says, when Jesus died on the cross, you died. And I can give you scripture after scripture after scripture. The Bible says, you reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6. Yeah. Colossians 2. It says, what does it say? You are complete in him, being buried with him in baptism, were raised in newness of life. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Colossians 2 verse 10, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Here's what the gospel says. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just your sins that died. It was your sinful nature. It was that old you, the old you. When Jesus rose in newness of life, you rose in newness of life. But here's the thing you've got to get. In between Jesus dying and Jesus rising, Jesus was buried. And what happens when we baptize somebody in water is, I mean, they get wet physically, I get it, but spiritually, it is a baptismal service. It is a burial service. It's God's method of killing, of burying the old you. And when you go into that waters and come out in newness of life, something spiritual happens. I can't explain it, but in the same way as when we eat bread and wine, it doesn't change the physical Newtonian structures of the bread and wine. It's still bread and wine, but in the spirit, you're partaking of Jesus. When you're baptized in the spirit, the old nature is cut off. And then what happens, and again, I don't have time to teach on this here, but I'm going to teach on this tomorrow in Romans 6. The Bible says we should reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And that's the power of baptism. God does not want to inner-heal the old me. He doesn't want to deliver the old me. He doesn't want to improve on the old me after time. The Lord says every day, Graham, pause, stop and think, that old me is dead. That old me was buried in the baptismal tank in Halton Pentecostal Church in Widnes, Cheshire in 1985. That old me is dead, gone and buried, and I am raised in newness of life. And when by faith I believe that the old me is dead, the old me is buried in baptism, and now I'm raised in newness of life, by faith that new life begins to flow in me. It's an act of faith. It's not automatic. You've got to apply your faith to it. But it's vital. Baptism is a burial service. It's not about joining a church. It's not about a declaration of your faith. It's not about it's not simply about obedience. It's good to obey. It's better to know what you are actually doing. And I want to lovingly say to you, if you've never been baptized, as your choice, I think I will baptize a child maybe at 10, 11, 12 when I know they're born again. I know they know what they're doing. But if you've never been baptized in that way, I encourage you, get baptized this weekend. Come and join us at Sturbridge tomorrow or any other good church that will preach and practice the New Testament. And there is a power in baptism that you can live a changed life. I've met many Christians who are dragging around the old man, the dark passenger, for many years. That's how you walk in newness of life. Selah. Boom. Guys, thanks for watching. Do encourage you, these are not burdens to carry, but grab a hold of one of these books on Amazon. Link should be below. Let me know if I can pray with you. I have a brand new series on building a relationship with God coming out next week. And I hope to see you, some of you in New England. 10 a.m. Sturbridge Worship Center, 4 p.m. New England Fellowship Healing Service. Bless you in Jesus' name.